Hey, everybody. This is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali. Tuesday marked a turning point for PG&E. The utility is now in bankruptcy protection. The players who will determine how this all plays out for ratepayers, wildfire victims, and shareholders gathered in a San Francisco courtroom yesterday. KQED's Marisa Lagos was there.
Judge Dennis Montali wasted no time laying down the law, telling dozens of lawyers assembled in his courtroom that he didn't plan on making any big decisions in the PG&E case for several days. But Montali did temporarily approve two motions that PG&E argued were central to keep the company running. One will let the company use existing bank accounts, and another will allow it continued access to gas and electric markets. Montali also said he plans to let the public weigh in on the case, even if they aren't parties to the bankruptcy filing. The next hearing is expected to take place on Thursday morning. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
We're going to turn now to immigration. Late last night at San Francisco International Airport, an asylum seeker from Honduras was reunited with her toddler after the one-year-old was released from U.S. government custody. It is 7 months now since President Trump ordered an end to family separation at the border. KQED's Farida Javala Romero was at SFO for the reunion.
Cindy Ortiz Flores waits anxiously at domestic arrivals when she spots her 18-month-old daughter, Gretchel. The little girl starts to wail as the woman carrying her from the plane hands her to her mother. Ortiz also bursts into tears. She hasn't seen Gretchel since they got split up on their journey through Mexico. Ortiz has a message for the Trump administration.
Que no siga dañando más familias.
Stop hurting families, she says. Catalina Palacios, an activist with SE Justice Group, came to support mother and daughter.
Mixed emotions, you know, happy that they're together, but this shouldn't have happened.
The government placed Gretchel with a foster family in Texas for a month after she and her father were arrested by Border Patrol near Calexico on December 28th, and he was charged with illegal reentry into the U.S. Court records say they were separated because ICE won't allow criminal aliens at family detention centers. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
And the Trump administration has now started sending people seeking asylum in the U.S. back to Mexico. The first, a Honduran man, was sent to Tijuana yesterday on a day that Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen toured the San Ysidro port of entry. Meanwhile, federal lawmakers from California are demanding answers from the Pentagon on border security. KQED's Angela Corral reports.
Democratic Congresswoman Susan Davis says the number of illegal crossings is down, and sending U.S. troops to deal with a crisis that would be better handled by judges is a mistake. At a House Armed Services Committee hearing on Tuesday, Davis, who represents San Diego, said resources would be better spent on those seeking asylum here.
So if we had more judges and more processing capability, perhaps that's really what's needed, not necessarily declaring a national emergency.
Bay Area Representative Jackie Speer, meanwhile, wanted to know when troops, who were deployed by the president in October, will be sent home from the southern border.
I'm concerned that the readiness that we should be working on with our service members is not being done. Many of these service members now have lost time with their families at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, at New Year's, are still there. They don't have an end of the mission date that they can rely on.
In testimony, Director of Operations for the Joint Staff, Vice Admiral Michael Gilday, said the number of active duty troops has been cut almost in half from its high of 5,900 in November, a number which will likely change as need evolves. For the California Report, I'm Angela Corral.
One of California's crucial water supplies, the Colorado River, is in a 19-year drought. The federal government has set a deadline for this week for the states that use it to share. And KQED's Lauren Sommer is here. Lauren, let's start with who uses this water.
Yeah, this is water that mostly comes out of faucets in Southern California. But it's water we're all connected to. That's because this time of year, if you eat a salad or some leafy greens, it was almost certainly grown with water from the Colorado River.
So how bad is this shortage?
There's a lot of things that have made this so bad. I mean, the drought has been terrible. Climate change has actually played a role. It's actually leading to less runoff going into the river. And all these states that use this water, they've just been using too much year over year. So the water level in a key reservoir, which is Lake Mead, you know, right outside of Las Vegas, has been plummeting.
all those states, there are seven of them, trying to agree on a plan to conserve water to avoid a shortfall. What would that look like?
The idea is that everyone chips in and gives up a little water, but it's tough because of this invisible system called water rights, right? It means who gets water first. And California has the oldest water rights, so we're actually in the best shape. There's one farming community in California that really holds the key to the whole deal.
We cannot give so much that we injure / cause harm to our community.
Bruce Kuhn is on the board of directors of the Imperial Irrigation District, which is right on the Mexican border. The Imperial Valley uses more Colorado River water than Arizona and Nevada combined.
The ag industry in this valley is the single largest industry here.
And the idea of sharing water, it doesn't go over well here. Kuhn would know. He was on the board in 2003 when, after decades of using more than its share, California was being forced to cut back. He voted to sell some of Imperial's water to San Diego as part of that deal.
I was voted out of office over that vote. I was the swing vote. I lost friends and I lost business associates over that.
Now Kuhn is back on the board with another water sharing vote ahead.
One thing I will not lose this time, I will not lose customers. I sold my business a year ago, so that won't happen again.
The Imperial Board has said it's willing to give up some water if it can get funding to restore the Salton Sea, an inland lake that's creating dust and health problems. And Arizona still hasn't agreed to the deal yet either. If that doesn't happen by the end of the month, the federal government says it will step in to decide the future of the river. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Sommer.
And finally today, just a few weeks ago, at least four Californians were thinking of running for president. But today we have one less. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti said Tuesday that after exploratory visits to Iowa, New Hampshire, and other states with early 2020 primaries, he will not be a candidate for president.
Reflecting on those travels and recognizing the incredible opportunity that I have every single day as mayor of this great town, I realize that this is what I am meant to do. This is where I want to be. And this is a place where we have so much exciting work to finish.
So is it the Kamala effect? That's what I was wondering. She's raising tons of money and getting plenty of attention. Garcetti, though, said his decision had nothing to do with Senator Kamala Harris's splashy campaign rally in Oakland on Sunday, which helped her land in the top tier of candidates. Now, with billionaire Tom Steyer also out of the race, there's just one Californian left actively considering a run, by our count, East Bay Congressman and Iowa native Eric Swalwell. And that's the California Report for this Wednesday, January 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com. Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint, with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.